there is going to be a wonderful day. And that day is when we all stand before the judgment throne. There are many that are going to be turned aside on that day. But yet there are many that are going to enter in. I want you to contemplate in your minds on this morning about making the right choices. The title of the lesson this morning is, you must choose one or the other. One or the other. We're going to look at a series of things on this morning that are broken down into twos. And by the end of the lesson, hopefully you have made a choice. Those that are serving God right now, and God is pleased with your actions, with your service, continue to do so. Those of you that are away from the fold, those that have never obeyed the gospel before, the opportunity is given to you to make up in your minds whether or not you want to be a child of God or whether or not you want to be a child of the devil. The choice is yours. As we study the word and understand the things that we're supposed to do, let us make sure that we always look at ourselves. Brother Mark Tilford, I'm going to call his name, his last name, so he'll know exactly who I'm talking about. After we finished walking yesterday, I had no idea what Mark was going to go home and do besides eat. Mark told me this morning that, he said, I thought about us walking on yesterday, and I thought about it most of the day. And he asked me a simple question that I'm going to give him the answer to before you all. He said, how do you walk in those boots all day long? Training, brother, training. You know, we need to train our bodies to do certain things like we need to train our minds to do certain things. To make the right choices in life, we need to train. As we think about it, we need to understand that the choice is ours, it's yours. No one can make it for you. Who do you choose this morning? There are two rulers of men, the devil and Jesus Christ. Which do you choose? Many will say, without a doubt, I'm choosing Christ. Others will say, I choose the devil. Maybe you've never met anyone that said that they choose the devil. I have. And when they say that they choose the devil, you ask them, how do they govern their lives? How do they find out about who God is? And why do you object to him? Or why do you reject him? They believe in the word, those that choose the devil. They just don't want to live by it. There's another ruler that they want to accept. You know, they want to choose the devil and they want to live according to his standards and not the standards of God. Well, we need to teach them. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we find these words. 2 Corinthians 4, starting with verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. To those that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Why do they serve the devil? Why do they follow after his ways? Because he has blinded them. He has given them something that they think is so glorious, so wonderful, that they cannot see straight. You know, we tell people they need Jesus. They need to let the world go and they need to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They need to follow after Him. The choice is theirs. We have made the choice, those of us that are members of the body of Christ, we have made the choice to follow after the Lord, and we have made the right choice. But what about those that are still lost? It said, it is here to them that are lost, the gospel. How are we going to make it known to them if we never go out there in the streets? If we never take time to sit down with some sinners and show them in God's Word what God expects out of them? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 24. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign. The ruler of men now, he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. But the last enemy, the last one that shall be destroyed is death. For he had put all things under his feet, but when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. Verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Who do you choose? Do you choose Christ? Or do you choose the devil? It's very simple. It's a simple choice. It is nothing that needs to be contemplated on too long, because tomorrow is not ours. Make the right choice. As Brother Harper read the scripture reference out of Joshua chapter 24, Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And the people, of course, you know, not wanting to be looked down upon, not wanting to be the back turned on them at all. Are we going to serve God? We're going to serve Him. You know, Joshua could have said, well, if you decide to serve God, how long are you going to serve Him? You go back and you read, they served God as long as Joshua and the other elders were still living. That's how long. That time, you know, is a very short period of time to say that I'm going to serve God and then yet turn your back on Him. We have men that do the same thing today. Serving Him today, but yet tomorrow, their life is not, Christ is nowhere in it. Nowhere in it. There are some choices that need to be made. What are you standing on today? Are you standing on shifting sand, or you're standing on a solid rock? Two foundations. You know, you've heard it said that there are some that have one foot in the grave and another on a banana peel. See, you need to get somewhere and stand solid. Stand firm on what you believe in. If you want to believe in the ways of the devil, stand firm on that. Be able to defend what you believe in. But if you want to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you want to stand on that solid rock, be able to defend it. Jude 3 says, contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. We need to do those things. In the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Shifting sand. You know, there are some that if they ever get into the quicksand, they're just going to continue to fall down into it. While they're yelling for help, they're steady struggling, trying to get out of it. But the more they struggle, the faster they go down. See, we have to know how to get our feet on solid ground. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? How many people do we see like that? Oh, I love the Lord. But yet you're not doing what He says. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, there are so many lights that have gone out. Jesus says here in verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. What about you? When you get ready to build your house, how do you want to build it? Where do you want to build it? See, I don't understand the people that live along the riverside. And the floods come and the flood and the waters rise up and the house is destroyed because of the foundation in which it was built on, and the government or the insurance give them some more money and they build in that same spot. I don't understand those people. But the man that builds his house upon a solid foundation, and every now and then, Brother Thanopoulos, you may get a crack in it, but all you have to do is fill it up. You don't have to start over from scratch. Just fill it up. Get those cracks the way they're supposed to be so no water would come through them. That's the man that is thinking about where he want to build his house and where his house is built. Need to be on a solid rock. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 24. Matthew chapter 7 verse 24. Two foundations. Your house is on one or the other. Matthew 7 verse 24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto it. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Where's your house today? What type of foundation is your life upon? You know, are you being shaken by every wind and doctrine? Or are you confused about where you're worshiping, how you're worshiping, because you're not in the Word of God? You don't know about the solid foundation? Are you confused? So we need to focus. We need to quit following the multitude. We need to quit saying, I want to be over there with the crowd. I want to know what's going on. I want to know why they have so many cars in their parking lot. There are two roads ahead, and the broad way is not always the good way. Yeah. On Broadway is okay. But the broad way is not always okay. We need to understand that. And yes, it's coming. You're going to hear that sermon before the end of the year on Broadway. A lot of things to go on Broadway. But the Broadway, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, we need to stay away from the Broadway. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. No one is trying to break these doors down to get in. But if you went to a club last night, they probably had a line on the outside and say, oh, we've already got to our max capacity. You got to wait until someone else come out. That's the broad way. That's the way that none of us should want to go down that road. And none of us should have been in that line last night. Amen. I was at home. I don't know how long the line really was. I was at home. But some of you may know. Some of you may have been there. Some of you may have got turned away because there were too many already there. They said, come back another night, and you just can't wait to go back. But look what it says in verse 14. It says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. See, that's the narrow way. That's the way that we want to go down. That's the way that we should go down. That's the way that God wants us to go down. That's the way that Christ went. The straight way. He did what the Father wanted Him to do. He was crucified for the sins of the world. He died for your sins and mine. He ascended in heaven to set up on the right hand of the Father to intercede for you and I. Two rows ahead. Two rows ahead. Luke chapter 13, verse 24. The narrow way is the way that we want to go. Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Brother Bryce, read that for us when you get it. Luke 13, verse 24.
Strive to enter at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able.
Strive. You know, we need to work toward this, don't we?
Yes.
You know, some things people say come natural. But we need to strive to get to this narrow gate, to get to the narrow way. We need to strive. We need to work. Just because you are a child of God doesn't mean that you're going to be able to enter in the end. You have to be faithful. You have to continue to strive. You have to stay away from the broad way and stay on the narrow way. Two roads. Two roads. Sometimes you need to get out your machete and you need to make a way. Because the thicket is so bad, you know, you can't get through it. The thorns and the brush, you have to cut it down in order to get through it. That's because there are so many going down the broad way. There's a trail that you can distinctly see. But here, we need to go down the narrow way sometime where we have to make, you know, some room for us to get through. The road is just as clear, but we have to make some way sometime. Remember when I was going through PODC in the Army, and our instructor told us, he said, now you're going to go out there and do land now. He said, but since you're in my class, he said, I'm going to tell you the easy way to do it. He said, you don't have to go through the woods. He said, you just look at the markings on the tree. And he said, everything will be all right. First time I went out, we got lost. We came back through the main gate. The guy that was there guarding the gate just laughed and laughed and laughed because he knew that we had got lost. No one comes through the main gate. You have to go through the trails. We learned that if you follow the easy route, it is not always beneficial, because when you really get into some trouble, the easy route is not going to be the way that you need to go. You have to go through the thicket sometime. You have to learn how to maneuver. And this is what it's all about being a Christian. We have to learn how to maneuver through some things. And as we look at these and we think about maneuvering through some things, it is not by man's opinion. Because man will tell us anything. He'll say, oh, it's okay to do that. I've been doing it for many, many years. And look at me. Yeah, look at him. Examine what he's doing. Understand that what he's doing, he has no Bible reference for it. Matthew chapter 15. Oh, it was good enough for mama. It was good enough for grandma. Should be good enough for me. Well, if that's the way you want to go, keep going down it. But it's not good enough for our Lord and for our God. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. He says, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honored me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines and commandments of men. Where you been all day? I've been worshiping God. You mean tell me you've been worshiping God all day long? Yes, the Holy Ghost took over. It took over? All day? In vain. People are worshiping God. So what are we to do? Are we to say, well, they did it and look at them, they're still living. I'm going to do it and I believe I'm going to be all right. I don't think that's what God expects out of us. I know that He wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not teaching the doctrines, the commandments of men. Not worshiping Him in that manner. So, what needs to take place? Men need to be taught about God. Men need to be taught about who Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done for us all. So So we find in the book of Romans chapter 10, because we're looking at these two guides in life now, there's only two, a good guide or a bad guide. Man's opinion is a bad guide. If you want my opinion, if you want my advice, here it is. No, we don't want your opinion. We don't want your advice. We want the Word of God. So he says here in Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to have faith in God, not in man. Man will fail you. Man said, I trust in God. He was a supply sergeant. I trust in God. Everybody else must sign. Well, what he was saying is, I don't trust you to give you my equipment and let you walk out of here with it unless you sign right here. You know, we need to start telling man that. Show me in God's Word what I can do and what God, you know, expects me to do and what God desires for me to do and what God approves on me doing. Show me in His Word. Don't want your opinion. Don't want your opinion. How many times have you told someone you wasn't going to give them no advice? And before they walked off, you were telling them what they need to do. So we need to be able to show them. So then faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The choice is yours. Creeds of men or the Bible only? Many books have been written. Many books. To tell us how to govern our lives. The denominational world have many books that say this is what you need to do. And what happens and when some of our so-called men of God, they read these books and they say, that's a good idea. I should be one of those. Promise keepers is one. It's a denominational thing. But some gospel preachers have taken up and said, you know, I don't see anything wrong with promise keepers. It's a creed of men. There is something wrong with it. Why not just pick up the Bible and trust in God's Word how to govern your life? How to treat your wife? How to treat your children? How to treat your neighbor? Pick up the Word of God. We don't need a new creed. There's so many have not followed God's Word, but yet they are trying to follow some creed that some man has written. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The verses 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the verses 3. Actually, let's back up to verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure. But after their own lust, they shall heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. A fable is nothing but a lie. And that's all it is. But there are some that say, that's what we want. We don't want you to tell us how to live our life. We want you to give us something that, you know, we really don't have to worry about being judged according to the creed of some man. The creed of some man. We need to get back to the Bible. You know, the Bible is God's Word. There are so many that have turned away from it that they are afraid to pick it up today because of all these creeds. They really can't find it because it's buried among all these other books. Look at all these many books I have read. Where's your Bible? Look at what this man said I can't do. Where is your Bible? What did God tell you you could do? Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 8. You know, we teach the truth to someone and we go back and we look at them and we say, you know, where's that Bible I gave you last week? You know, you became a Christian of God, you know, a child of God, and I gave you a Bible. Where's that Bible? Well, it's in here somewhere. And they pull out all these other books. Can't find a Bible. Oh, I must have loaned it to somebody. Galatians, Paul says here, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the gospel of Christ unto another gospel. which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. For an angel from heaven, we know that's not going to happen. But what he's telling them, if someone bring a word to you that's not in this book that is called the Bible, do not listen to him.
Amen.
Paul included himself in this. He included himself in this. And others that were with him, he included them in this. But though we, if I teach you something that's not in the book, rebuke me. Tell me, Melvin, I know you know better than that. We got some people that know better. They're leading people astray. They're telling people what they want them to know. They're telling people what they want to hear. It is not the truth. It's not the truth. It says in verse 9, as we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. The Bible is all we need. It's all we need. Man told me, he said, you know, you want to preach God's word? He said, get you a good Bible and a good dictionary. You'll be all right. No, we need to define some words. Yeah, I know that there are some commentaries out there and some of them have some good stuff in them. But there are some other commentaries out there that got some bad stuff in them. But we have to know the difference. And the only way that you're going to know the difference is that you have looked in God's word and you studied the truth for yourself. The choice is yours. Faith only or obedient faith? Faith only or obedient faith? There's two doctrines that are held. There are some that say, oh, that's all we need is faith. We don't need anything else. You need this obedient faith. You need a working faith. What does the Bible teach us? In John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Two doctrines that are held. You need to choose one. A lot of times that's what we want to do. We want to choose the simple one. I have faith. Everything is going to be all right. Do you have a working faith? John 12 verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. How many have ran up on people like this? Say, I believe in what you're saying, but my family, they'll disown me. I believe in exactly what you're saying because you're showing it to me. Well, all they say is they have faith in it, but they're not doing anything about it. They don't want to make a change in their life because they're afraid of what someone else may say. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I don't care what man say about me. Family don't care what they say about me. Friends don't care what they say about me. It's God that I care about and what he says about me. When he looked down and told the old devil, have you considered my servant Job, who's a just and upright man, one that fears God and shuns evil? Can God say that about you? Or do you say, I believe in God, but yet don't do anything? That's a problem. You do not have obedient faith. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. We need to make a change in our lives. Just because you have faith doesn't mean that you're going to get to heaven. You need to have obedient faith. Don't worry about what man says. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Obey him. Not just believe in him, but obey him. Remember, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I tell you to do? You know, if he's your master, you should obey him. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's the one that was crucified for us. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Obedient faith. That's what we need. I mean, we need more of it. We need more of it. Choice is yours. You know, we're going to die, no doubt. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment. You're going to die somewhere. You're going to die in some way. You can either die in sin or you can die in Christ. The choice is yours. John chapter 8 verse 21. John chapter 8 verse 21. I used to say, if I die. Man said, no, it's not if. It's when you die. Because you're going to die. John chapter 8 verse 21. Then said Jesus unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Where I go, ye cannot come. Verse 24, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Dying in sin is not a good thing. You're going to hear that command in the end, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I knew you not. Although, yes, according to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, you're going to stand there, you're going to try your very best to get into heaven. Verse 22, it tells us, it says, you know, how about, here's the man talking to Christ. Have we not, you know, prophesied in your name and thy name, done many wonderful works in thy name, have cast out demons? And Jesus says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I knew you not. The only one, going back up to verse 21, that's going to get into heaven is he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Amen. Are you lost in sin today? Or are you saved in Christ? Yeah. Saved in Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 the verse is 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Who is Paul talking to here? He's talking to the church at Thessalonica. He's talking to Christian folk. He said, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. These that are asleep are the ones that have died in Christ. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we live. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And I love this next line. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You have a member of your family that has died, and they were a Christian, and you saw the life in which they were living, that it was faithful unto God. They have hope. And you have hope. We need to encourage one another to keep living for God. Amen. Keep striving to be who God wants you to be. Amen. Being obedient. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The choice is yours. Eternal damnation or eternal life. Eternal damnation is in hell. And eternal life is in heaven. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Oh, we love to have good things happening to us. You know, yes, thank you for that. Oh, no, I don't want that. You know, we just want the good things. But in order to get the good things, we have to do some good things. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Hell is a bad place. It was not prepared for you and I. It was prepared for Satan and his angels. But many of us will go there because we're not obedient. He says in Matthew chapter 25 verse 41, then shall he say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. If there is a man out there teaching and telling you that hell is not eternal, show him these verses here. Oh, keep living the way you're living. He's not going to leave you in hell forever. He's going to take you into heaven with Him one day. No, He's not.
Amen.
Our God is a keeper of His Word.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. I would like to have my joy in heaven. Don't know about you, but that's where I want to have my joy. That's where I want to spend my eternity. If I have to spend eternity somewhere, I will choose heaven. I will choose heaven. Because we are. We're going to have to spend it somewhere, one way or another. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What do you want to spend yours? The choice is yours. Have you made it? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Have you decided to commit your life unto Him? To say that I'm going to live with Him from this day forward, I'm going to live for Him? If not, why not? Maybe you're here and you're not a child of God. And you understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You understand that He died for your sins. The opportunity is given to you to come forth and make a confession before the one that is here and have your sins washed away in the water of your baptism. Acts 2:47, pray to God and have faith with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily, but they should be saved. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. You really want to come back. What's holding you back? I see no one as I look around have a headlock on nobody. You're free to get up out of your seat, to come back to the fold before it's everlasting too late. One day, it will be too late. James chapter 4 teaches us, your life is but a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. One moment you're here, the next moment you go. If you hear yourself the invitation, we ask you to please come and stand to me.